Your daily dose of sports talk is here. Highlights, interviews, and analysis. From the entertainment capital of the world, Sports Wrap with Jason Page starts now.
And great to have you with us on this Monday edition of the show. A lot to do over the next 60 minutes. Final Monday edition of the show for the year 2025. Can you hardly believe it? I can't. We'll be joined by Patrick McEnroe later in the show. Did you know there was a tennis battle of the sexes over the weekend? It was in Dubai. Nick Kyrgios and Aryna Sabalenka, the number one women's player in the world, meeting up. See what Patrick has to say about that. I've got some thoughts of my own. All you have to do is go look at the Sports Wrap short that I did about it, and you'd find out what I was thinking. Bill Bender will be here. Does a great job with the sporting news on all things college football, all things football in general. I want to get into it with him on the news of Kyle Whittingham. So he retires from Utah at 66, ready to walk off into the sunset, and then Michigan calls and says, hey, we got an idea. Let's hire you to be our next head coach at the age of 66. I'm not an ageist or anything like that. I think it's more curious about the fact that he's taking the job after he was retiring. Now he's not retiring, and he's signing a five-year deal at the age of 66 over at the University of Michigan. Bill Bender will be here to talk about that. Also preview Miami and Ohio State, the first quarterfinal of the college football playoff that takes place on New Year's Eve. Sam Yarnell is here as well. We'll get into all the NFL stuff with him. And the NFL is where we begin things with the big story. And the big story in the NFL this weekend was the fact that, you know, some of this murky, muddy playoff picture has cleared itself up some, but some of it has not. And we're still trying to figure out who the favorite is, although I have a suspicion that we're all sort of leaning towards the NFC West. Take that and put it aside. You had the Buccaneers with an opportunity to do some things yesterday on the road against a Miami team that they should beat. They don't win. You have Carolina, who you see here at home, taking on the Seattle Seahawks, another sort of prove it opportunity for Bryce Young and company. And Bryce Young did nothing in this game. And the Jekyll and Hyde sort of season that we've seen from Bryce Young. Oh my God, all the comeback wins. And over the last 2 years, nobody has more comeback wins than Bryce Young. And then yesterday, it just wasn't there. Seattle put the clamps down, and this thing was a wrap. And the Seahawks just continue to plod along. And as much as we talk about the Rams and the Eagles and the Bills and all these teams that could potentially do something, we continue to ignore at our own peril a Seattle Seahawks team that could wind up being the one seed if they beat the 49ers next week. They could be the one seed in a year with all this parity in the NFL and, you know, the what we've been calling mid-league. None of us want to believe in Sam Darnold and the Seattle Seahawks. And look, I think we've just become cynical and skeptical and unwilling to believe that anybody can do anything until they win a Super Bowl. Yet we don't do that with Josh Allen, who's never won anything, hasn't even been to a Super Bowl. We don't do that with Josh Allen. And there's just certain guys that we protect in that regard. We don't do it with Joe Burrow. Been to a Super Bowl, never won anything. I mean, outside of the Super Bowl season, you know, you barely even see the Bengals in the playoffs. They struggle to keep their heads above water every year. But with Sam Darnold, who has had two magnificent seasons in a row under two different head coaches, now we just say, nah, we don't buy it. Jalen Hurts has won a Super Bowl and been a Super Bowl MVP, could have been a Super Bowl MVP twice, and we still don't buy into him. We're tough, man. We grade. Fans, media, maybe we're just grading too difficult. Maybe our grading process, maybe the way we analyze this is just too negatively, too cynical. You're going to bet against Sam Darnold and the Seahawks? Go ahead. I mean, they play the 49ers next week. We'll see what happens in that game. And then there was the Bills and Eagles. And boy, did they play a banger 13-12 in the rain in Buffalo. And Josh Allen and company had their opportunity late in this game. They get a touchdown. Sean McDermott says, let's go for the win. Even though the Eagles couldn't do anything in the second half in terms of scoring the football or even moving the football. You go to overtime, you're probably still winning that game if you're Josh Allen and the Bills with the way the momentum was going. But Sean McDermott says, we're going for the win now. And Josh Allen misses a wide open receiver. And the Eagles wind up coming away with a win despite the fact their offense did nothing in the second half. Then there was the Browns and Steelers. Steelers with a chance to knock the Ravens out of the postseason. Opportunity to punch their ticket for the playoffs. Instead, they lose in Cleveland to Shedeur Sanders and the Browns. And by the way, Shedeur Sanders should be the starter for that team next year if they're smart. That typical Steelers loss. On the road, in Cleveland, game you gotta have. You figure out a way to lose. And now Pittsburgh and Baltimore will play next week for the right to go to the playoffs, representing the AFC North. And then there was the Suck Bowl. Ah, yes, we couldn't do the big story without the Suck Bowl, could we? That's what I've named it. Giants and Raiders, with the Raiders doing everything in their power to tank and get the number one overall pick. Will the NFL do anything about it? No. The fact that they charged people, made people pay good money to go watch this kind of bad football, NFL should be ashamed of itself. The Giants won and lost in the process because they lose out on the top overall pick now, which the Raiders will probably get. Hell, they'll probably play their entire practice squad next week if it means getting that number one overall pick, which they'll then probably figure out a way to screw up in terms of who they draft with it anyway. Because it's the Raiders. And the NFL rewards this kind of tanking by giving them the number one overall pick. Be interested to see what they do with it. Giants didn't really need the top overall pick if you believe Jackson Dart's the guy anyway, but there are some that wonder if Jackson Dart is the guy. We got more NFL to do. What all these weekend games meant, we'll talk about it with Sam Yarnell next. Let's take it to segment two on this Monday edition of the show after the holiday weekend. Almost forgot what this guy looks like. Never mind. I didn't forget. Looks just the same. Sam Yarnell is here. How was your Christmas?
Uneventful, honestly. Lots of football, Jason. Somebody gave me a shirt that said, most likely to watch all the football games. So, yeah, that's how my Christmas was.
Jesus. Really, gag shirts like that? People still give out things like that? God, it almost makes me glad I don't gift exchange with anybody these days.
Nothing like a good stocking stuffer.
I get baseball cards and my husband gets me baseball cards and basketball cards. That's what I was doing for Christmas, just opening up cards. And I still can't get a Cooper Flag card, no matter what. For love of money, I cannot get a Cooper Flag card. Tons of Konkin Apple. Can't get Cooper Flag. So let's talk a bit about these couple of these games yesterday that have set us up for, and we talked about in the big story, what's going to set us up for some major Week 18 showdowns. And look, you know, I've been thinking about this, watching these games yesterday, and I'm still trying to come up with, you know, this whole year, it feels like we've been bouncing around from who's a favorite, who's not a favorite, who's the team to beat, who isn't the team to beat, and it seems there is no consensus. And I keep landing in the NFC West with the Rams, the 49ers, the Seahawks, and I know everybody's scared of Sam Darnold and this old thing of, you know, you haven't done it until you've done it, and all of that stuff is fine. But sometimes I think it's us, that we're just grading these guys too harshly. that maybe that's the problem. I mean, Jalen Hurts won a Super Bowl, a Super Bowl MVP, and we still grade him like he's actually won nothing. You know, that we treat him in some regards like he hasn't won anything. So I'm watching the way this all played out over the weekend and the matchups it sets up for week 18. Sam, I'm kind of interested to get your take on sort of what transpired over the weekend and where we go from here. And let's begin, with this Steelers-Browns game. It just feels like the game that it feels absolutely like the game the Steelers would lose. Like I was not shocked in the least bit they lost that game yesterday, Sam.
Yeah, no, not at all. I mean, it's the classic Mike Tomlin, you know, you get to 9 wins. All right, that's it. That's the season. They're not going to, if they make the playoffs, which they're not going to, by the way, they won't win a playoff game. It's ridiculous how, you know, death and taxes that team is when it comes to mediocrity. And I'm really glad that a lot of people spewed a lot of irresponsible takes all season long about how Aaron Rodgers is having this career renaissance. And oh my goodness, the Pittsburgh Steelers are really good. Yeah, Aaron Rodgers looked horrible yesterday, including costing his team the game on the final drive.
He's playing the best passing defense, but he's also playing the best passing defense in the league.
But that's also the best passing defense in the league because of Myles Garrett, who they completely handled yesterday. It was not at all a fault on the Steelers' offensive line. At the end of the day, this is a Steelers team that is exactly what we always thought they were. They haven't changed a lick. All that's changed is the players wearing the uniforms. The fabric of that organization hasn't changed. And guess what? It's not gonna.
No. And you know, I'm going to tell you, I was having this conversation with a Steelers fan yesterday, a friend of mine. And I said to him, I said, the worst case scenario is they beat the Ravens next weekend. Because if they do, Mike Tomlin's not leaving until they carry him out of there in a casket. Like, that dude's never leaving. He'll be there forever if they win that game next weekend. Now, if they don't, I'll be interested to see what the conversations are like in the offseason.
On that subject, though, the NFL's got to do something about the schedule. They can't go to 18 games, 19 weeks, 20 weeks, whatever it is. And they're showing you why. There are three games that matter in week 18.
Yeah.
Of the 15 games going on, three of them matter coming off of a week 6 or off of a week 17 where five games mattered, where people were paying more attention in the 425 window to the Giants and Raiders because that game had more implications than the Bills and Eagles. The NFL has to do something, Jason. The schedule has gotten ridiculous. It is patently unacceptable that we as fans are continuing to let them put on these products for the last 2 weeks of the season. We can't do it anymore.
Tampa Bay and Carolina will meet in a winner take all to decide who goes to the postseason, as Baltimore and Pittsburgh will. That the result of Tampa Bay I'm not as surprised as Seattle beating Carolina as I certainly am of Miami winning that game. But I wonder, and I know we're supposed to be talking about the playoff games. I wonder what Miami's going to do in the offseason. Because, you know, if there was an idea of drafting a quarterback, you've watched Quinn Ewers now for a couple of weeks, and they've got to start wondering, you know, hey, maybe we've got something here with Quinn Ewers. It feels like McDaniel potentially keeps his job, but then you're going to have a new GM coming in who may want his own regime. I mean, the drama and soap opera that is going to be the Miami Dolphins in this offseason is going to be fascinating to watch.
Yeah, but actually, they kind of ran into one here. Like, they kind of got very, very lucky that Quinn Ewers looks as good as he does, because now they could totally start him every game of next season, and nobody would question it. With the draft capital they used on him and with the spot that franchise is in generally, if I'm the Miami Dolphins front office, if I'm their ownership right now, I am thanking my lucky stars that this has worked out the way that it has over the last 2 weeks, because you have a clear path to getting rid of Tua now, having a very, very, very cheap quarterback room that can still get you through a season and maintaining draft capital, if not expanding. I think the Dolphins are very lucky, and I'm excited to see what they do with this opportunity. Big window here for organizational malpractice, that buzzword that I like to use. However, if it's done right, the Dolphins could be on the right track
here. All right, so you love the Ravens next week, as you made clear without actually saying.
Yep.
Carolina and Tampa Bay, where are you going?
Oh, it's tough, but I mean, Tampa Bay is my Super Bowl team. I'm the biggest Bryce Young guy on the show, maybe in all of media. Can I have another week? I just like the over.
Buccaneers -3 is the number in that game.
Oh, I have to take the Panthers because they're getting a full field goal. That's the only reason I would take the Panthers right now.
I'll go Buccaneers -3.
Don't mind it.
Yeah. First time.
What am I saying? I have to take the Panthers. I have to. The Buccaneers are my Super Bowl team. I have to take the Panthers so that I make money either way.
There's more NFL to get to. There was a wild Sunday night game. Eagles-Bills was a little bit different than I expected. We'll get to that next, too. Thanks for being with us. Coming up in 10 minutes, Bill Bender of the Sporting News talks college football. Still to come later in the show, Patrick McEnroe. There was a battle of the sexes in tennis this weekend, and I didn't even know. What a farce perpetrated on the sports viewing public. Sam Yarnell wasn't subject to it, so wasn't subjected to it, I should say. So he didn't miss anything. Let's talk some more football, Sam, and a couple of games I want to get into. And again, things that set up big matchups next weekend. The Niners-Bears, boy, what a banger that turned out to be. And I mean, look, we thought it'd be high scoring. I don't know if we thought it would be, you know, 7-7, 14-14, 21-21, 28-28. 35-35, whatever the hell it turned out to be, throughout the game, as Mike Tirico wanted to remind us over and over again. But what a game between those two teams. And look, I mean, there's a possibility you see these two teams match up again in the postseason, depending on the way things break down. The one thing that stood out to me, and I mentioned this in the big story, again, and it's something I said, I think I said it last week on the show, for all the talk about the Niners' injuries and everything, the one guy they can't afford to lose is Christian McCaffrey. And you saw that in the second half of the game when he started to wear down, and all of a sudden he wasn't the same Christian McCaffrey for parts of that second half. The Niners' offense struggled a little bit. Then they get him for that final drive. He makes a couple of big plays in that final drive, that one swing pass that they throw out in the flat, and he gets, you know, 13 or 14 yards as sort of a catalyst in that, what turns out to be the game-winning drive, Sam. But thoughts on that Niners-Bears game? And boy, I mean, Caleb Williams showed up. I mean, it was just a fantastic football game to watch.
Yeah, I hope we get to see it again in the playoffs, right? It was a lot of fun to watch. It was one of those games that was just, you know, I don't know who was expecting it to be, but if you were, you definitely lived up to every expectation that you had. On the McCaffrey thing, I think it's very interesting, Jason, from a fantasy football perspective. A lot of people were talking about this yesterday. It's the first time in, gosh, a very long time, I don't remember exactly how many years, Christian McCaffrey played an entire fantasy football season. He did not miss a single game in terms of his fantasy football season, which leads me to ask you the question, Jason, not a fantasy question at all, but like, at this age, doing what he's still doing at this point in his career, where does Christian McCaffrey rank in terms of NFL running backs right now? There are great names on that list: Jahmyr Gibbs, Bijan Robinson, Jonathan Taylor. Where does Christian McCaffrey rank to you?
I don't know where he ranks, but I know where he ranks in terms of value to all of those different teams. I think he's the most valuable running back. Who's more valuable to their team at that position than Christian McCaffrey? I can't come up with an answer, and dead air doesn't sound good on television or
Jonathan
in a podcast.
Jonathan Taylor would have the best argument, right? Jonathan Taylor was in MVP conversations, right?
For
setting
seven
records.
Games,
Jonathan
games,
Taylor was backpacking Daniel Jones to a freaking NFC South potential championship
South,
until
yeah.
his leg fell apart.
But I'll still go Christian McCaffrey. But I'll point it back at you and ask you this: did he get too many carries this year? Is he going to have enough gas in the tank to get across the finish line if this team has to make a lengthy run? If they're not a one seed and you add another game to the schedule, That's what I'm wondering. I don't know if he's got enough gas in the tank to get across the finish line, Sam. I could easily see him breaking down here in the playoffs in a spot where they're going to need him, because that is a team that needs him. And that's my big question, is whether or not he gets across the finish line. Real quick, because I want to get to the Bills.
It's the most carries of his career, right? For a back who, for the large part of the season, we thought of as a receiving back. It's the third most receptions of his career in a single season, right? So there's definitely something there. There's definitely something there. He's top three for me for sure. I don't know if I'd put him number one.
I'll also say this on the Bears. Luther Burden, going to be a stud.
Dog.
DeAndre Swift having a great season. Colston Loveland showing out. You know, Menengai is a rookie of the year candidate. I mean, the Bears are in a good position going into the postseason. Are the Bills in a good position going into the postseason, Sam Yarnell? This loss against the Eagles, you had fans booing up there in Buffalo at some of the play calling. You know, Josh Allen misses a wide open receiver. Sean McDermott making decisions that have some people questioning, you know, what he's thinking, not sending the game to overtime when the Eagles can't do anything offensively in the second half of that game. Where are you as Bills fan number one on this show? Where are you coming out of a tough loss against the Eagles?
Yeah, well, I think, first of all, a lot of the booing was from Eagles fans towards Nick Sirianni, right? They're large contingent of Eagles fans calling for Nick Sirianni's job after a win. Get to that in a second. Good loss for the Bills, right? This is a loss that puts them in the seventh seed, objectively an easier path to the AFC Championship game, and they're in the Super Bowl. I don't want to face Lamar Jackson in the first round of the playoffs on the road. Are you kidding me? No thanks. I'd rather face a quarterback that doesn't have a playoff win in their career on the road, who the Bills have already beaten this season. Yeah, so again, there was an argument, and the Bills knew this going into this game because of the 1 o'clock results. There was an argument to be made that a loss was more valuable than a win for playoff seeding. On the Eagles side, I mean, I understand Eagles fans. I get it. Jalen Hurts is the first quarterback in the play-by-play era, that is, since they started keeping stats, for those of you keeping track at home, to go 0-for-7 or worse in multiple halves of football. He's the first one to ever do it. Like, panic button has to be on the table. As bad as Josh Allen played, he was somehow the better quarterback in this game. That was crazy out of the Philadelphia Eagles in a game the Bills rightfully should have been trying to lose. How did the Eagles come away with a win? I don't understand it. I don't know. If I'm an Eagles fan, I do not feel good about this team going into the playoffs right now. They just got shut down by one of arguably the worst defenses of the last, or of the first 8 weeks of football in the NFL this season. I don't feel great about the Eagles in a loaded NFC. The Bills are talent-wise still one of the best teams in the AFC. They don't really need, they don't need to worry.
Wow, that is not just glass half full. That's like filling up the whole thing. That is woo optimism out there from Sam Yarnell. That is a lot of optimism coming off that kind of loss. A lot of optimism. That was not what I heard on the Fox post game, where they were just destroying Sean McDermott for about 10 minutes. A lot of optimism.
Congratulations to me. I'm smarter than Terry Bradshaw.
Welcome back to this Monday edition of Sports Wrap. Shift gears, do some college football, as we do every Monday on the show. That means this guy is here. The one and only Bill Bender of the Sporting News, who was so kind to join me for the weekend edition of Sports Wrap over the weekend, because there was breaking news with Kyle Whittingham. At that point, it was just sort of reported, but not really a done deal. But now it is a done deal. Kyle Whittingham, the new head coach at Michigan. Let's talk to him about that. Also get a preview on Miami and Ohio State in the first of four quarterfinal games on Wednesday night, New Year's Eve. Bill Bender, happy holidays, my friend.
Hey, happy holidays. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, please. Anytime. We don't need these subtle politeness things, these niceties. We're well past that. Kyle Whittingham, we talked about a little bit for the weekend show. Now that you've heard him talk about why he took this job, what stood out to you?
I just think it's the opportunity to get to the college football playoff, and perhaps, you know, I don't know if Michigan will be national championship caliber in the next 5 to 6 years, but he's a coach that had opportunities at Utah, and they were always fighting for respect. When you go 10-2 at Michigan, you get the benefit of the doubt. You end up in the college football playoff, and, you know, he has a ton of experience. I think he'll bring a physicality to that defense, and I know that's a cliche, but, you know, you watch his teams play over the years, they're not an easy out, and I don't think Michigan will be either.
Is it the grown-ups just being back in the room too?
A lot. I think so. And even though, you know, he is 66, people will harp on that age factor and say it'll be used in negative recruiting. But, I mean, the portal's part of this game now. Kurt Cignetti's arguably the best coach in college football right now, and he's 64. Nick Saban was that was toward the end of his career where we were talking about his age. But I think Kyle Whittingham, this is a good challenge for him. And you know, his time at Utah expired one way or the other. And it sounds like that was not a short-term, like, breakup. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Sam, I see Sam's facial expressions tell me something is coming.
Well, I get it, Bill. I understand that it's a step up for Kyle Whittingham personally, but I still can't wrap my head around this entire situation. Why would Kyle Whittingham announce his retirement? Okay, all well and good. You're retired. You're 66 years old, like you said. Makes sense. Enjoy, right? Enjoy the rest of your life. Live out doing whatever you want. Instead, he comes back, signs a 5-year contract that will take him through his age 71 season to be the not even top 20th highest paid coach in college football. Make it make sense, Bill.
I think Michigan made it make sense for him. Like, hey, just come coach here. And like I said, for these guys are competitors. They're wired like that. For Michigan, it's home run, or closest thing to a home run, like a ground rule double at least, because they had this happen this late in the cycle. They had a complete embarrassment to the university, and you land one of the most well-respected coaches in college football that, and when we do those coach rankings every year, he's in the top 15. I mean, I've done them at Sporting News for 15 years, and he's never been outside the top 25.
Miami, Ohio State. Let's talk about it. The line hasn't moved much. At least I don't think so, Sam. Well, it's 9.5. It feels like it's been that from the get-go. 41.5, by the way, the total, for those of you who are considering wagering on it. As you've had time to sort of marinate in this matchup, what kind of stands out to you, and give me the argument for Miami on New Year's Eve?
Well, the undercurrent is Miami's defensive line is going to dominate this game, and offensively they should be able to run the football a little bit. But I just think we're undervaluing Ohio State so much in this matchup, a team that hasn't allowed more than 16 points in a game, a team that if they get it blocked and you give Julian Sayin time, he's going to find Carnell Tate and Jeremiah Smith. I know we're going to have a lot of nostalgia about the 2003 BCS championship game. I've got a couple pieces coming up on that later this week, but I just think this is a matchup that the Buckeyes are built to win. And Miami will hang around, but I got it around 31-14 Ohio State.
So you're saying comfortable cover.
Enough. Like maybe, I mean, it's 9.5, so I think they'll win by double digits and maybe 14 to 17 points. Somebody, one of my friends was like 27-13 also would make sense. This is a very good Miami defense though. And Julian Sayin against Texas, Michigan, Indiana, the numbers aren't out of this world. So I guess that's the case you're looking for.
Sam, go ahead.
Bill, from a draft perspective with this game, assuming it is the end of Miami season, because I'm in the same boat as you, I do think Ohio State wipes the floor with them to an extent. What does it mean for Miami looking back on this season? Do they consider it a success? What is Mario Cristobal's future like there? And what does it do for a lot of players who are leaving this team? Reuben Bain, Carson Beck.
Oh, I think you're right. It's got to be a success. It's New Year's Day or New Year's Eve, and Miami's playing in a bowl game that matters. You know, and they don't have the best bull history since that loss to Ohio State in the BCS championship game. So, I mean, for Bain, it's an opportunity to flash. And I've made the case that he could be the number one pick in the NFL draft. I don't know that he will be the pick, that number one pick. And then Carson Beck, you know, works into a day two. I don't know if he'll get in the first round, Sam. I just don't see it. But with him, this late season stretch since the SMU loss, he hasn't turned the ball over and it's been pretty good.
If the Giants had that top overall pick, Bain could have been the pick.
Oh, I thought so too. I mean, their opinions vary. I think Bain is a guy that could be the number one pick if he has a good combine, good game here.
Even if it's the Raiders, though, and you need a quarterback, I don't know. Right. That's just, again, the Raiders can screw up a ham sandwich, so. We got more to do. Thanks, Bill. Always appreciate it, my friend. Bill will be back with us on Wednesday to preview the other games as well. We're coming back with more Sports Wrap. Welcome back to this Monday edition of the show. We'll wrap it up with some odds and ends coming up in 10 minutes. Kawhi Leonard, a career night for the streaking Los Angeles Clippers. I laugh because even though they're streaking, they have 10 wins on the season. We'll get to it, though. There's a Monday Night Football game in Atlanta tonight between the Falcons and Rams. We'll get into that as well. Doesn't really mean much. I guess if you're Kirk Cousins, it means something because you're trying to prove you could still be a starter in the league. So there is that. So we'll see what happens there. So Sam will rejoin us for that. We were slated to be joined in this segment today by Patrick McEnroe. We had teased it throughout the show. Patrick McEnroe had something come up. He is unavailable. But that's okay. We will proceed. We will move on. And we'll get Patrick on another day for sure. Maybe even another day this week. But doesn't stop me from wanting to talk about a couple of items here. One is what took place on Sunday, I guess it was in Sunday, in Dubai. It was the Battle of the Sexes. Did you know there was a Battle of the Sexes taking place this weekend? Because I didn't until I happened to stumble upon it. And that was Aryna Sabalenka, the number one women's player in the world, taking on the 675th ranked male, Nick Kyrgios. Now, in fairness, Nick Kyrgios was a Wimbledon finalist in 2022. He was a top 20, top 15 player at one point at the peak of his career. Now he's 33 years old. He's battled injuries, has barely played over the last couple of years, and decided to play in this match against Aryna Sabalenka. This was a disaster from every possible perspective. This was a disaster. First of all, there was a no-win situation here for Nick Kyrgios. If he wins, he's supposed to win. If he loses, she's playing with a 9% smaller court, as you can see in the highlights here. He has to hit into a smaller area than she does. She's hitting into the regulation area. He's hitting into a smaller area. They both only get one serve. I mean, this wasn't even tennis. This was some completely contrived, fictional battle of the sexes geared towards just making money and getting people like me to get pissed off enough to talk about it on a nationally syndicated sports television show. That's what it was. They're both, and thank you to Patrick McEnroe for pointing this out to me because we were texting about it yesterday. They're repped by the same agent. Oh, so the agent gets to double dip. It gets people talking about tennis at a time of the year where nobody's talking about tennis until we get to the Australian Open. And I'm a big tennis fan. I'm a huge Sabalenka fan. She gets beat 6-3, 6-3 in this match. If you're going to do a battle of the sexes, do it on a full-sized court for both players. What, you don't think Sabalenka could cover enough ground? You thought the forehands that, you know, Kyrgios was going to hit was going to make it so that she gets dusted? You think she was going to get double bageled? If we're doing a battle of the sexes, then let's do a battle of the sexes. Let's do it correctly. I am all about women's sports being used to empower women. I am all about equal pay. I understand the plight of WNBA players. I understand the plight of female athletes who want to be treated as equals. This event did nothing to help that. Nothing at all. Because you didn't even put them on the same court together. You put her on one side in a smaller court. It would have been like playing an NBA game where the women, where the WNBA plays against the NBA, and the WNBA players are shooting on a 9-foot hoop and a shorter 3-point line. And men can't block the shots. And the men are playing on a 10-foot hoop and they push the 3-point line back like 3 feet. Like, it's that kind of stupidity that surrounded an event like this. It made no sense. Bad. All around just bad. Quick hitter number one. Quick hitter number two. Talk about how quickly your fortunes can change in life. Anthony Joshua made a boatload of money a couple of weeks ago to beat the snot out of Jake Paul. And boy, did we enjoy every second of that. Broken jaw and all for Jake Paul in that match. And Anthony Joshua calling out Tyson Fury and wanting to have another match with him, and that was all great. Well, Anthony Joshua found out just how quickly your fortunes can change in life. He was involved in a car wreck in Nigeria that took the lives of two people that were, I believe, in the front of the car. He was sitting in the back and was basically unharmed. Supposedly, the car ran into a stationary truck that wasn't, you know, a truck that had been not moving. And Anthony Joshua walks away from this thing. I mean, you look at the wreck. He is really lucky to be walking away from this. And again, you want to talk about how quickly your fortunes can change in life. You're on top of the world for a few minutes after beating up on Jake Paul. And then the next moment, your life is flashing before your eyes. I'm just glad Anthony Joshua is okay. Condolences obviously going out to those that were killed in this terrible tragedy. We're coming back with more sports wrap on this Monday, including odds and ends. Sam Yarnell will return for that. We got a Monday Night Football game to talk about. And Kawhi Leonard going off for 55. It's next. Just about time to put the wraps on this baby for a Monday. Programming note. We are off again on Thursday and Friday this week, New Year's Day and the day after. You will get the Sports Wrap Best of 2025 year-end show. Two episodes because it's that big. Looking forward to bringing you that in case you missed it last week. Sports Wrap with Jason Page, the podcast. If you have not subscribed yet, what are you waiting for? Go and do it. Available on all your favorite podcasting platforms, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube Podcasts, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Odyssey, Amazon. Anywhere you get a podcast, you can listen to this show Monday through Friday, 45 minutes right there for you. It works just as well in its audio form as it does its video form. In fact, some might argue it works better in its audio form given the way we look, but that's just me. Also, the Sports Wrap with Jason Page YouTube channel. If you have not checked this out yet, go and check it out. The Sports Wrap with Jason Page YouTube channel is the TV version of the show, available there Monday through Friday. Sam tries to figure out why I just said we're both incredibly hideously ugly individuals. I know. Yeah, it's okay. Come on, let it out. Get it out. Get it off your chest. You gonna feel better? You wait. One day you're
gonna... No, it's just...
This is your future.
Come on. All right. Come on.
Fair enough. The Sports Wrap with Jason Page YouTube channel is the place to find the TV
version. People like looking at us, okay? I mean, seriously.
No, not me. Nobody wants to look at me. The TV version of the show available Monday
through Friday. With the nice graphics package and everything. You can watch the videos, too.
Sports Wrap with Jason Page YouTube channel. Go and subscribe. Sports Wrap shorts are there as well. If you have not checked these out yet, they're 1 to 3 minutes long. We do a ton of them on the weekend, especially on Sundays during the NFL season. Sports Wrap shorts right there for you. Top stories in sports, top games in sports. We got those covered for you as well. So go and check that out. Sports Wrap shorts also available on our TikTok, Sports Wrap Jason Page, and on our Instagram, Sports Wrap Jason Page. And without any further delay, ladies and gentlemen, eventually we'll get to it. Time for some odds and ends. Odds and ends. Kawhi Leonard never scored 55 points in a game until last night. It was his career high for Leonard, as the Clippers beat the Pistons. Good win against, arguably one of the best teams in the East. 112-99, the final score, as Kawhi goes for 55 on 17 of 26 shooting, 16 of 17 from the line. He had 11 bounds in the game, 5 steals, 3 blocks. He was a fantasy beast last night, Sam Yarnell.
Yeah, congratulations. You got 2019 Kawhi Leonard back for a game. Listen, as many of you as myself are, I would assume, very tuned into the football right now. It's going on every day at every level. So the basketball has been put on the back burner for
not
a second.
Not for me.
I was only aware that the Clippers had fallen to irrelevance. I am aware enough to keep up with it that much. When we started talking about this off the air, Jason alerted me. I said, oh, wow, the Clippers got their 10th win of the season. Jason said it was their 4th in a row. Oh my goodness. This team needs to be absolutely blown up. My response to that was, fire Steve Ballmer. I understand that's not doable, but like, if I'm a Clippers fan, I'm starting to sell the team chant at the next game. What are we doing here, Los Angeles? How are we letting this slide in one of the best basketball cities in the world?
Speaking of best cities in the world, the Lakers got a win last night as well. 125-101.
Meanwhile, the Clippers are still 3.5 games out of the last play-in spot occupied by the freaking Trailblazers. Their head coach is federally indicted.
Indicted! Lakers win 125-101, by the way. And the big news there is that they only gave up 101 points instead of like the 130 they've been giving up recently. Monday Night Football, we got the Rams and the Falcons meeting up in Atlanta as Kirk Cousins continues his where am I going to find somebody to give me a job next season. Plus 7.5 to the Falcons in this game. If you want them on the money line, plus 290 if you like home dogs. 49.5 is the total, Sam. Where are you putting your hard-earned money in this game?
Yeah, thanks, Uncle Roger. Another one of these patented Week 17 good games between the Falcons and the Rams. I don't know. What I do know is this game doesn't matter for anything. It's not ever going to matter. It shouldn't ever matter and probably shouldn't even be played, honestly. Just let everybody get to Cancun early on the Falcons side of everything. What I'm going to do, Jason, you and I talked a little bit in the green room about this. Hasn't been a great go for your boy personally on the gambling side of things of late. So I'm going to do, what I should do. I'm going to bet with my heart. I'm going to bet to have some fun. We're going to take the over and hope.
Okay. Take the over. The advice from our gambling aficionado, our sports handicapping expert, our prince of picks is I'm going to hope. Hope is the plan.
Hope is sometimes the best plan.
Wow. I've got nothing for that. Except to tell people, spend your money cautiously when it comes to this game tonight. That would be my word of advice. Just going to look at the screen. Wait for the time to run out. I'm just dribbling out the clock.
Hope.
I'm just dribbling out the clock. That's it. I'll even take a shot clock violation. I don't care.
Ho!
We'll see you back here on Tuesday.
Or at least we hope to.